Good morning and welcome to Balanced Life. I'm the host, Renee Gable with In Touch Marketing Concepts. And today we have Mark Medvesky with Wells, Hoffman, Holloway, and Medvesky. So my goodness, that's a lot to say. Good morning, Mark. How are you?
Good morning. I'm good. Thank you. How about you?
Good. Glad to have you back. You were here in June, so we're happy to have you. You are a consumer, bankruptcy, immigration, wills, living wills, and power of attorney. So, last time we spoke about immigration, and today I thought we're talking about a timely subject about renting or leasing an apartment or a home with so many people going on vacation in the summer, renting a home.
And this is the time of year, summertime, when people have been transferred. They start moving their families. They may have gone ahead and now they're actually making that move. So it's a good time. I've handled a couple clients, and I thought this was an easy or decent topic to consider, because one of the problems or one of the issues I see is people either enter or leave a lease in an emotional state. I mean, when you go out and you're looking for a new home, you're excited, it's kind of a new start. And so you can be overwhelmed by the experience. And then, of course, if you find problems, you're upset, you're concerned, and you tend to make bad decisions and you leave that premise. So this is something to talk about.
It's a good subject. And I know you're going to say you have to read the fine print. That's probably what people ignore.
Well, you have to read everything, and you have to consider everything and consider what it means if they invoke that clause. I'm dealing with a client right now. They entered into a lease, had a reason to feel, and I think they did, to break the lease or cut it short. But one of the things they had on the back of the lease was a cleaning schedule, how much it was going to cost to clean the carpets and do this and do that. And they just kind of ignored it, thinking, oh, well, you know, I'm going to clean the house, it won't be that bad. But clearly the landlord has retained the right to have a professional cleaner come in and do that. One of the things on it was $400 to come in and bring a dumpster in and take out the trash. Because, you know, when people leave, they don't necessarily leave on trash day. So they gather everything up and they kind of set it there waiting, you know, for trash day. And the landlord needs to clean the property and get the stuff off the property. So he hires a company to come do it, and they get charged for it. So you have to read everything, and don't think it's not going to apply to you. You need to think, what if this occurs? How is it going to impact me, and can I afford it? Because if you can't, then you got to negotiate that.
And I think that's good. You bring in an attorney that knows all the fine print and can read all that, but help guide you in what's going to be the best options for you. And can you change a lease then? Can you make a request to?
It's a contract, and that's what you have to remember. You're entering into a contract just like any other company or person or entity would do, and it's binding. And absolutely, you have a right to ask. Now, certain times, there's going to be policies in place with companies that they're not going to change their contract, and then you have to weigh the risk versus the benefit. There's other times they'll say, okay, yeah, we can change that for you. You're going to have a better chance if you're renting a converted home from, you know, kind of a mom and pop landlord kind of thing, and you're going to have less of a chance if it's a conglomerate like, well, I don't want to mention any names, but, you know, but the professionally run, professionally built apartment complexes are going to have less.
They're dictated by corporate on what they
have. So you won't have a lot of chance to negotiate it. But, you know, to your point, that's something that attorneys, that's part of our function. You know, I'd much rather counsel somebody on what they're getting into than try to have to litigate to get them out of something. So by all means, if you're going to enter into a new lease and you don't understand what it says, or you want to get a second opinion what it says, you should definitely come into my office or into your attorney's office and go over it line by line if that's what will make you more comfortable.
I think some of us say, oh, that won't happen to me, or that doesn't apply to me. But you really have to be prepared for all circumstances.
Absolutely. Yeah. Go ahead. I'm okay. I'm just giving you a break to cut.
Oh, okay.
You do have to consider all circumstances, because you don't know. I mean, mm-hmm. you don't know what you don't know. And there's things that happen during the term of a contract that may give you an opportunity to leave that contract. But you have to understand it. You have to understand what your rights are under it, and then exercise your rights according to the contract and the law.
You talk about document condition. What do you mean by that?
Well, you know, a lot of people, when they come into an apartment, especially an apartment, the apartment complex will give them a sheet that'll tell them to write everything down that they see wrong with the apartment.
Okay.
And again, they don't see it. They're busy trying to get their furniture in, make sure the dog is taken care of, and they're not paying attention. And so what happens is there's a big stain in the carpet that was there when they got there. They realize it a day later. They never documented it. And then when you leave the apartment, the landlord wants to charge you for new carpeting for the carpet that's already been damaged. And you have no proof that it was damaged when you moved in because you didn't take the time to document it. So if they give you a worksheet, you should go through room by room, wall by wall, windowsill by windowsill, and look and see if there's damage that's not been, it is not annotated anywhere, not marked up anywhere. And if you see it, you should mark it up. And you should show it to your landlord, and I'm assuming the landlord would sign off on the write-up as just like you would.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is everybody has cameras in their cell phones. You know, take the pictures, store them. Take pictures of everything. You know, it's always interesting. You go into the magistrate's office and you're litigating a claim that something was damaged or wasn't damaged, and your client has pictures of everything but the part of the room which is being disputed.
Of course. That's how that goes. Murphy's Law.
Right.
Oh.
So go through when you get the keys, before you put the first stick of furniture in, you should walk through the entire apartment and document any damage that you see. And, you know, keep notes. Maybe something was painted. Maybe there was a water stain that was painted over, but it wasn't done well. And in 2 months, it comes out. You know, take a picture, have a date, something that dates it, so you can show mm-hmm. that it's been a problem. Again, the client, one of the clients I'm dealt with is they had 2 or 3 days after they moved into her apartment, there was a gas leak. The gas company had to come in and out of the apartment, and the gas company is the one who dirtied the apartment. The landlord, according to the tenants, they told the landlord was going to clean it up, but again, this lease was terminated short because of some other issues, and now the landlord's saying, well, you got to clean up the carpet. We're going to charge you to clean up that carpet. And the tenants are saying, well, wait a minute, that wasn't us. We didn't do it. But it's, you know, again, we told you it was this, it was that. There's no photographic evidence of that. And I don't think there's any written evidence making a request to get the gas company to fix it up. So that's another issue.
Yeah, I've always seen the leases and the contracts covering the landlord, but you're right, the tenants and the renters are really the ones that need to equally cover themselves and protect themselves,
right?
Too, and, yeah, that's.
And there's clauses. There's Pennsylvania had this practice. It no longer applies to residential leases, and hasn't for a long time, but you'll see it in some of the old-fashioned leases. It's called a confession of judgment clause, and you have to be careful because confession of judgment clause works in a commercial lease, but not in a residential lease. And what that basically says is the landlord can go into court and confess your guilt to the problem that they're having and then take action against you. And you don't even have to be part of it because you're signing away your right. It's almost like you talked about power of attorney that I do in the beginning.
Boy.
It's almost like a power of attorney in the contract. Again, residential lease is not a problem, but you'll see them.
Mm-hmm.
And it should scare people when they see it, and they should ask the questions. And it actually should be removed. It shouldn't be left in the contract, even though it's not mm-hmm. enforceable against a resident. But in the same token, you have, you know, an individual person starting a business, and they've done their own residential leases,
mm-hmm.
and they go to do commercial space, and that clause is in there, and they don't understand it.
Mm-hmm.
And next thing you know, they have a dispute. The landlord's in court. getting a judgment against them, and they didn't really even know it was happening because of the commercial aspect and the clause. So there's things in leases that people really need to understand.
Yeah, and again, more reason to have an attorney that works with these contracts and things and helps you with the what you don't know.
Yeah.
And you're not going to know. So to bring you in and help with to facilitate and learn.
And, you know, I'm not an attorney who will tell you not to take the lease. I mean, you need, you know, if you have a business reason, you have a family reason, for instance, it's a school district you want to be in, or, I mean, there's reasons for doing what you're going to do. I would be the last person to say, oh, this is a bad deal, you shouldn't do it. I just tell you what your risks are, and you need to understand.
Yeah, make you aware of it, or if you have the ability to negotiate.
Right, right.
Yeah.
And to go through it. And that's what, that's. That just kind of gives you, puts you on a little bit better footing when you go into it, so that you can either negotiate or at least know what your exposure is, what your risks are when you go to leave.
So true. I would never think I would be responsible for the cost of a dumpster, or I just thought you filled the nail holes in and you were good to go, maybe vacuum. So, I mean, I would never have thought of that.
And you know what? And these clients didn't, because... As we're looking at the notice, my client was going, but I cleaned everything. Now, I mean, again, we'll have to look at the list and see how it all fits. But, you know, again, I asked my client, I said, well, when you left, did you take any pictures? And he was like, no, I didn't. And so how do you, when the landlord has possession of the property, and he or she or the company says that the carpet was destroyed, How do you
prove it?
How do you deal with that? Right.
And one person's clean's sometimes different from another person's clean too. So.
Well, you know, that's really a good point. And you got to realize that a landlord's clean is different because he wants to move someone in that space as fast as he can.
True.
Or she can.
Mm-hmm.
And clean to the tenant is, well, look, I didn't leave rotting food on your floor, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I swept it and you know, I was living in it, it was okay, but that's not how they're going to rent it out.
Yeah, I guess definitely two different perspectives there, but that's a reason to call Mark Medvedsky at what phone number?
Phone number is 215-660-3170. And in case you heard me here earlier, I have merged firms. It was Medvedsky Law, and it is now... Wells, Hoffman, Holloway, and Medvedsky. 215-660-3170. Thank you.
Come right back, and we're going to have more talks with Mark. I am Renee with In Touch Marketing Concepts.
Be my source, be my life, Jesus.
The Apostle Paul wrote in Ephesians 6:10 to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might so we can stand in the evil day. Let me ask you, are you standing strong in the Lord and in the power of His might? Hello, I'm Sam Rohr, president of the Pennsylvania Pastors Network and the American Pastors Network, agreeing with the Apostle Paul that when the days are evil, we need God's armor. To modern culture, right is wrong and wrong is right. Good is evil and evil is good. The war against God, the truth, and God's people was started by the devil and is in full swing. The Bible tells us that all who will live godly in Christ Jesus will be targeted and will suffer persecution in the spiritual war. So what must we do? Put on the whole armor of God. Imagine, God designed armor to help us in the spiritual battle and available to us. In the next few weeks, we'll look at this armor of God and what it's for and why we'd better put it on. I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network, asking you, did you put on God's armor today? Are you even in the battle?
Sign up as a partner at papastors.net.
Hey, Grandma, can you help me with my Common Core lesson on the Constitution? But the only part we're reading in 8th grade is the preamble and the First Amendment. I wonder when we'll get to study the rest of it. Didn't you say our founding fathers were wise patriots and wrote the Constitution and the Bill of Rights to protect our freedom? This Common Core book we're reading says our founding fathers were racist and they didn't think women or blacks should ever be allowed to vote. She says, we the people, didn't really mean you and me, but some rich white guys. That just makes me feel terrible about our country. We need to change things.
Oh, honey, that's not true at all. Our country is the greatest country the world has ever seen, and our founding fathers worked hard to be fair to everyone. everyone. I'm going to call our school board and our state board of education and ask why they allow Common Core and this book in your school.
Call your representatives now and ask them to stop Common Core and restore local control. Pennsylvanians Against Common Core brought you this message. Go to nopacommoncore.com or call 484-678-2236.
All right. I know this isn't any fun to talk about, but we should. So, who's going to do what? Flashlights?
Nowhere to be found.
Where to be found? Batteries?
Dead.
Great. Emergency supply kits?
Not packed.
No. What about blankets?
We have an old towel.
Good enough. Cell phones?
May not work.
Emergency water?
Not a drop.
And what about food?
Nope.
Perfect. We all know where we're meeting if we're separated, yeah?
The library!
Aunt Joan's house.
The bus stop.
Great. And I'll be waiting here wondering where you all are. Sounds like we don't have a plan. Who's up for mini golf?
Winging It is not an emergency plan. Make sure your kids know what to do during an emergency. Who to call, where to meet, what to pack. Visit ready.gov/kids for tips and information. A public service announcement brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Good morning. Welcome back to Balanced Life. I'm the host, Renee Gable with In Touch Marketing Concepts. We are still talking with Mark Medveski with Wells Hoffman Holloway and Medveski. And we were talking in the first segment about being a renter or a tenant and what to look out for in the lease and the contract. But this, I think, segment, Mark, we want to talk about how do you rent out your own property and what should you look for?
Yeah, absolutely. Because I mean, there's some restrictions on landlords, and you know, Pennsylvania law is really tight. It's to protect tenants. So, you know, if you're going to rent property, you should understand the law too. You know, one of the things you need to do is most people take security deposits, and depending on the size, what you're doing, one, you're limited to 2 months, I believe it is, but you're limited on how much you can take. And it, depending on what kind of landlord you are, it may have to be deposited into a separate account, at least for the first year. You know, a lot of small landlords will take the deposit and they throw it in their bank account and then they go ahead and spend it. And that can really become a problem on the back end of a lease. So so they should do that.
No, that's great. Now, I've heard that it's hard to evict someone. Is that true?
No, I mean, actually, I mean, I've seen it. You have to.
How many have you evicted, Mark? That's maybe what we should ask.
No, actually, unfortunately, I've had one or two of my clients evicted.
Oh, so, okay.
But it's not hard, but you have to follow, you know, the law. You okay. have to file. You have to give service. You have to give so many days notice. Then you have a right to, the tenant has a right to come in front of a magistrate. Depending, again, the magistrate, it's a person. So depending on what their background is, how they feel. And the tolerance of the law allows one way or the other will all impact your income or your outcome. Mm-hmm. And so... So you do have to, you should consider if you're not a professional landlord, a lot of professional landlords know how to do it and they do it well. But if you're not a professional landlord, you should engage an attorney also, because you want to make sure all the paperwork's done correctly. You want to make sure that everything's calculated the right way. And so that when you do present yourself in front of the magistrate, you have everything lined up and you don't have it being dismissed or pushed down the road because of technicality.
Okay. So you not only could guide a tenant or a renter through a contract or process, you can also help a novice landlord set up a contract, what they need to have in there, what would cover their assets and property and building and such.
Absolutely. Yep. We could do that too.
Commercial and residential both.
I have done both. Okay. Working with commercial and residential leases. And, you know, and like the tenant, when the landlord gets ready to put out, you know, set up a piece of property for lease or actually turn over possession, they should do the same documentation. They should walk through, with a camera or video camera, get every corner, show the condition in which they are giving their property
True.
To the tenant. So if there's any disagreement of what the status was at the time of the turnover, they have proof. Because let's face it, when someone is moving into a property, they're moving furniture in, and you get a mover who bangs up against the wall. Maybe you didn't notice, you didn't notice the wall was clean or when you first moved in, and then all of a sudden you're sitting down and you say, oh, wait a minute, the landlord left us with this big, gaping scuff or hole in the wall, and that's not really true. It's something that you're going to be that the tenant should be responsible for as they exit. One of the things that I've dealt with tenants or with landlords is, or either side, is carpeting is huge. Nobody wants to put in carpeting because it's expensive, mm-hmm. and it always looks worn after you've left it.
True.
So, if you're doing a residential lease, landlord should definitely pay attention and make notes of the condition of the carpet, because the first thing a tenant says when landlord tries to clean or replace a carpet is, oh, well, that's the way it was. It was a beat carpet when I moved in. And, again, you lived there for 2 years and the condition can change a great deal. Landlords also should keep in mind that normal wear and tear is not something the tenant has to pay for. Normal wear and tear is something that is just part of doing business.
Mm-hmm.
And normal wear and tear is just part of doing business. It's the upkeep of your asset, So don't think that just because a person lived in your apartment for 3 years and it's going to take a good amount of cleanup to get it in the right condition, if that's what a normal place would look like after you lived in it for 3 years, it's not necessarily what you should, that's not something that your, the security deposit should be paying for,
I think that's good to know. And I think, the contract does help both parties know what the expectations are,
mm-hmm.
and then the attorney hopefully facilitates the communication between both parties to make all this whole process easier in the beginning and the end.
Well, absolutely. And hopefully if you do it right in the beginning, mm-hmm. there is no problem in the end, because everybody understands what they're supposed to do or get when they leave. And maybe even if there's a misunderstanding, you're at a point where you can talk it out as opposed to engaging attorneys at the end, because that's mm-hmm. the expensive part.
Yeah.
The other thing landlords need to know, especially novice landlords, is if you have a reason to keep a security deposit, you're required within 30 days after the property is vacated to provide written notice. If you don't do that in writing, and I recommend a formal letter, even though we don't send letters in this day and age. And mm-hmm. it should be, I would recommend to my clients that it be certified, so you get
okay.
a return receipt showing that they received it, explaining to them what has to be paid for and why you're keeping the security deposit. If you don't, there's financial penalties the landlord can suffer for mm-hmm. not doing that.
Interesting.
If they get sued by the tenant to have that deposit returned.
Yeah, what do we do with these millennials that are renting and they don't write anymore? Going to have to text them and have proof of texting or something. I don't know.
I had a client who had printed off his text so we could show that that there was communications and that there was no indication that there was a reason to keep a security deposit. And then a year later, he gets a note from his landlord that says, oh, yeah, you destroyed the place. We're keeping your deposit. And it's like, oh, no, you can't do that. And fortunately, that was a good case for me. I came out.
Okay, good. Okay, you were on the winning side. That's what we like to hear.
So that, that was pretty clear. And even the judge at the time said, Mr. Smith, if you're going to continue renting properties, you should understand how this all works. So that sort of gave me the idea.
We laughed at a text, but it really, it's still a form of communication.
That's right.
So.
And people should remember, text can be pushed out to email and email can be put out to a printer. A writing doesn't mean it has to be a formal contract. A writing is a writing.
Mm-hmm.
And also keep in mind, anything you write is construed against you.
Oh, no.
So if you write it, then the onus is on you if it's not mm-hmm. clear or ambiguous.
No, that's good to know, and definitely learn a lot to know on both sides of that. So what else do you recommend for the homeowner who's going to rent their home or apartment? What else can you recommend that they look out for or do?
Well, I think they need to, some of the things I was talking about, they need to consider what it is going to cost if they're going to have a professional cleaner come in. And they may have to. I mean, under rules and laws, you know, to have to repaint, they may not be able to do it themselves. So they should be ready to be able to recognize when they have to pay, when they have to, what they're going to have to pay on the outgoing side, make it clear what they expect they're going to have to keep from the deposit. So when they do send that letter, it's not a big shock to the tenant.
Mark, thank you for coming in today. Mark Medvesky with Wells, Hoffman, Holloway, and Medvesky. How can they get in touch with you if they need help with a lease or a contract?
You can give me a call at 215-660-3170. That's 215-660-3170.
Thank you for coming in today. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you. I'm Renee Gable with InTouch Marketing Concepts, and this is Balanced Life, because a balanced life matters.
Be my source, be my life, Jesus.
Hi, everybody. Phil Valentine here. It's great to be back on the air in Philly, and especially when my show is being broadcast from the Cradle of Liberty, Valley Forge area, home of freedom-loving patriots both in times past and today, right here on WFYL 1180 AM.
1, 2, 3.
Hi, I'm Jeremy Gossett, inviting you to join me for Backstage Jazz. I'll spend an hour each week taking you behind the music and into the lives of America's top jazz musicians. Experience live jazz music and connect with the artists through backstage interviews. Join us right here for this season of Backstage Jazz. Broadcasting Saturday afternoon at 4 and streaming Sunday night at 6 on WFYL.
Driving has a rhythm all its own. Don't wreck it with a text. Before you get behind the wheel, silence your phone. Or better yet, designate a texter. For more text-free driving tips, visit stoptextstopwrecks.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
If you like Car Talk, catch Under the Hood, Saturday and Sunday mornings from 6 to 7. Exclusively streaming on 1180WFYL.com. Worldwide on your computer or mobile device. Stream Under the Hood this Saturday morning from 6 to 7 at 1180WFYL.com or on your favorite mobile device. Go to our website at 1180WFYL.com to find out more.
Friends, Janet Parshall here, host of In the Market with Janet Parshall. I'm excited about partnering with 1180 AM WFYL to bring you a fast-paced conversation every Sunday. As you listen to In the Market, we'll examine major news stories and issues, equipping you to be bold when voicing truth in a confused and chaotic culture. I look forward to engaging my new friends at 1180 AM WFYL every Sunday at 12:05 p.m. on In the Market.
Hey, everybody, this is Laura Ingram. Thanks for listening to my show and the other great programs carried live on WFYL 1180 AM, broadcasting from the historic Cradle of Liberty area, Valley Forge and Philadelphia.
Good morning and welcome to Balanced Life. I am the host, Renee Gable with In Touch Marketing Concepts, and I'm glad to have Bruce Henge back today from the Henge Agency. Good morning, Bruce. How are you?
Good morning, Renee. I'm terrific. Great day.
So glad to have you back. Thank you for coming again. Now, as you may remember, Bruce specializes in mortgage protection, annuities, life, and safe retirement plans. And I think I remember from our last talk that, you know, the subject of insurance is a very deep subject. It's important to know that you're covering and protecting the future of your family and your resources and things. So I have been learning so much from you, Bruce, so I thank you for that.
Oh, that's great. I'm glad the information is there.
So who would be your typical client? Someone that's recently married or divorced? Who would be your ideal?
Well, there is a lot of possibilities out there. As you mentioned, people that are recently married or divorced, people that have children, become grandparents, grandchildren that are out there that want to enter, that are thinking about entering college. That's one way of financial help, helping financially with elderly parents. Some people that have received an inheritance. A lot of people that retired and with or without a spouse. But another reason is that people are starting a business, great avenue. And again, the last but not least is people that have changed their job, lost their job very, very near because their insurance does stop at that particular time.
So really, everyone should have insurance, but the people that should possibly reevaluate their situation is when they're in these type of transitions.
Yes, all those things that I just mentioned are things that they should continually look at because everybody's circumstances do change. They should review them periodically because, again, we all have changes in our life, whether it be daily, but especially on a yearly basis, you should have a review of your coverages.
Oh, I never thought of that. So there's so many people that are changing or losing their jobs recently. So that is something to definitely reevaluate their insurance policy. And
yes, it's a very important step when you do change jobs because your insurance changes at that particular time, whether it be life insurance or, again, some health insurance.
Now, you talked about having children or adopting a child or becoming a grandparent. So can a person purchase a policy for a child?
Yes, it's very, very important, which people don't realize or don't think about. And I do a lot of policies for children only because, and you hate to say it, but the health of our generations, any generation, changes from day to day. And if those things do change drastically, you do have at least some coverage for the child in whatever aspect that may come about. But health problems do crop up, and I have a number of stories to divulge and relay that kind of information, especially with children. You know, grown-ups do. We as adults, we do changes too, and then we get into our parents and grandparents where they're. Life changes. But as far as the children are concerned, yes, we should start young because the younger we are, the better we are health-wise and the lower premiums.
Yeah, I guess, you know, so many of us don't want to face that there might be an unfortunate illness in the family and things like that. But it is something that we need to think about and protect our families and our children and such. And I guess that's how you would save money is by buying premiums earlier, buying now.
Buying your coverage now. Now is always the best time because now is when you know your financial position. Now is when you know your health, which is more important than your financial position in a lot of cases, because again, our health changes. We never know what's going to happen today or the balance of today, and especially tomorrow. There are a lot of things that affect our health, and once we do have coverage, then at least we have the coverage that we know. And we may want to get more, but at least we have the basics covered.
as we were talking to Russell in the studio earlier, you know, the younger generation, they feel invincible. They think they're never going to be our age, right, Bruce? So
that's always the case. The younger generation never thinks they're going to get older. They're going to stay this young in their 20s or early 30s. And just move on with life existing as it is, and unfortunately, or fortunately, things like that do change. We do get older, and our life, our whole aspect, and our whole looking at life does change over the years.
Russell, we have one piece of advice for you: don't blink.
Russell, don't blink.
You will be our age.
Yes.
Yeah.
In a blink, it changes.
But I think, too, it's important to convey to the next generations that, you know, look forward, be smart, protect yourselves. And, yes, there may be a time that you will need insurance, but always looking forward is an important factor.
It really does, because, again, our age changes, our height, our weight changes. All those things have effect on what type of insurance we can get and how much we can get. And one other aspect which we don't think of is that in today's world, our younger generation will change positions, change careers somewhere between 5 and 7 times. And with that, that means their risk may change. Well, with the risk, that changes your overall insurance availability. So your occupations do come into effect.
So all of that, age, gender, height, weight, and everything you just mentioned are factors that drive the insurance calculations, correct?
Correct. That drives the changes on what can be obtained at any particular time.
Yeah, you're right. People do change jobs more often and frequently. And
it's amazing how many times people do change jobs, especially, as I mentioned, the younger generation. And I'm talking now. Now I'm relaying my age. But fortunate or unfortunate, that's the way life is. We do get older. But the younger generation should start as early as possible.
You know, Bruce, they can't see us on radio, so we could be any age we want.
Yeah, that's true. But you know, the way my speaking engagements take me, tell the story about my age.
No, that's good. I think it's all good. It's wisdom we're passing along, I feel. But okay, so even the younger generation, our generation, what are the short-term and long-term needs we may have for insurance? There might be some disability that happens whether you're young or older. So,
well, yes, the disability, if that comes into a play, will affect it drastically, but then you'll have different types of coverage for disability. There are disability coverages that can be purchased. Some people look into them. Some people do have that disability coverage. It is one that you should look at, but it's one that's really overlooked by most of the generations out there.
I think so. My girlfriend has a young adult daughter who works, and she tore her Achilles heel, and she's been out of work for 4 months, and she has bills and things like that. So it's something for everyone to really consider.
Especially, yes, it's someone for everyone to consider, and especially for the spouse that is the breadwinner.
Absolutely. So, Bruce, I do want to come back and talk a little bit more about long-term and short-term insurance needs and disability insurance. Today we're talking to Bruce Henge from the Henge Agency, and I am Renee with In Touch Marketing. Come back and join us.
Be the fire in my heart. Be the wind in these sails. Be the reason that I live. Jesus, Jesus.
My name is Nancy Becker, and I am your Recorder of Deeds here in Montgomery County. It's very important for the veterans to be aware that they should record their DD-214 or military discharge in the Recorder of Deeds office. This is important because when a veteran passes, the funeral director will usually contact the Recorder of Deeds office so that they can arrange for a military funeral. And this relieves the burden of family members of trying to find this very important document. But the most important reason is that we are now issuing a veteran's photo ID card that entitles the veterans to discounts and incentives from nearly 400 businesses here in Montgomery County. All the veteran has to do is come into the Recorder of Deeds office at 1 Montgomery Plaza in Norristown. Parking is always free for our veterans. You just come into the parking garage and tell them you're a veteran and you can park free of charge. Bring along your DD-214 and a photo ID. We'll issue you the veteran's photo ID, give you a list of the businesses that are participating. It takes about 10-15 minutes at the most, and this way you will be receiving these discounts. The incentive for the business to do this is we advertise your business free of charge. My website gets about 1,000 hits a week, so the potential for over 1,000 people of seeing your business is there. Also, every veteran gets a list of all the businesses participating. They get it when they come into the office, and we email them to them every 3 to 4 weeks so that the veteran is aware of the new businesses we have. Veterans of Montgomery County, please come into our office. It would be my honor to shake your hand and thank you for your service to our country.
Veterans, WFYL is pleased to participate in Greater Harleysville and North Penn Senior Services Veterans Expo. Stop by our table on Wednesday, June 10th from 9 to 1 p.m. Vets, make sure you are aware of the benefits you have earned. Find out about available resources, vision screenings offered, light refreshments available. Located at Encore Experiences Harleysville Senior Center. Call 215-256-6900 for more information.
Freedom is not a gift bestowed upon us by other men, but a right that belongs to us by the laws of God and nature. A quote from Benjamin Franklin.
Welcome back to Balanced Life. I'm Renee Gable with In Touch Marketing Concepts, here talking to Bruce Henge from the Henge Agency. Okay, Bruce, we left off at disability insurance and long-term care insurance. What can you tell us about disability insurance and why should we have it?
Well, disability insurance protects against loss of income in case of disability or extended illness. The type of insurance is important for the sole or primary wage earner, of the household. And you can just think about that, is if the primary wage earner of any particular household now stops because of some type of an injury, what happens to the family household? It loses that source of income. So with the disability insurance, that covers those different availability occurrences that do happen over the years. People do get disabled for all different reasons, whether it be with their employment or just walking down the street. Just look at what happened to the Secretary of the State. He was riding his bike the other day over in one of the countries, and he broke his leg just riding a bicycle. Well, there it comes, disability insurance. Of course, he doesn't have to have that because he's a government employee, but that would be the
but that's a whole other subject
I won't get into that. But those are the particular case. He was just riding his bicycle, and an occurrence came, and he broke his leg. Well, for the normal person, he'd be out of work.
True, and out of money. So that's why we have insurance.
We have insurance.
We had a question in the studio. Does disability cover klutzes?
Well, it could cover klutzes according to the different types of injuries that would happen to that type of individual. You just never know. Different policies, it defines how much you're going to get paid, how long you're going to get paid, and when it begins. Those are all different aspects of a particular policy, the ingredients in that policy itself, and what premium you would be paying.
So if you are a klutz, we ask you to be realistic about your insurance policy then.
Yes, please look at it.
Yeah. So how does the disability then differ from long-term care insurance?
Well, your long-term care insurance really deals with the health of the individual. Like into nursing homes, there's a lot of people now that have care at home. That would be included possibly with your long-term care insurance. But those are the things that are covered for that particular purpose. It's a more of a health situation. Long-term care has a lot to do with the elderly individual that does need that type of care, whether, again, be at home or in a nursing home facility.
So it's strictly for the elderly or maybe like a long-term disability type person?
Yes, Renee, would be for both. Okay. The long-term disability, it just doesn't happen that much, but it does happen more with the older generation and what they're looking for, because they seem to be in those facilities, hospitalization, doctors, those kind of facilities more often.
Okay, so it sounds to me like disability and long-term care, there are short-term and long-term needs. So are you able to explain to us what those are?
Well, the long-term and short-term needs are really looking at really any type of age, just that different things affect individuals at those ages. The long-term, again, or short-term needs, you may have to pay for, on a long-term basis, the final expenses. That would be the cost of a funeral or burial expense. Those are things that maybe crop up that, people aren't thinking about. We don't think about our mortality and how long we're going to live. Covers for children's expenses, additional coverage that may be necessary over their lifespan to take care of them, or looking at their college education. This may be one way of developing those type expenses with different types of insurance coverages to replace a spousal's income. If one spouse or another passes away, these are long-term or short-term needs that come into the household itself to cover, just the regular tasks that are involved in a house, laundry, cooking, schoolwork, caring for kids to go to doctors, those kind of things. Those are different types of coverage that you may need. Then we come down to paying off debts. Everybody, or not everyone, but a lot of people leave our earth with a lot of debts that are outstanding. Well, there are different parts of your insurance that may help covering those, especially sometimes when we have mortgages on houses. And that's why we do a lot of mortgage protection coverage to cover that particular expense itself if something does drastically happen to the breadwinner or either one of the spouses. Another avenue that we could possibly look at for a long-term basis is to pay off its estate taxes. People don't realize that there are possibility of estate taxes that do have to be paid at the end of our course. Those could be paid with the benefits or the premiums. Excuse me, not the premiums, but the benefits of having different types of life insurance.
I don't think we realize the amount of bills and expenses that we have. Like you're making me think. Oh yeah, there's the mortgage. Oh, there's the utilities. Oh, there's the care of the kids. Oh, college. Really, when you put it all together in a basket, it's a lot.
It's a tremendous amount that, again, like, as you just said, that we really don't realize until we really sit down and start thinking about it, especially when it's a family. And as you just mentioned, when you have children that are involved, if the primary breadwinner does something happen to that particular person, you know, has that disaster, you know, what's going to happen to the rest of the family? Well, this is the purpose of different types of life insurance, short-term or long-term benefits or expenses that may crop up.
And I don't think we think about the expenses that there are at the end. Funeral expenses, like you've mentioned, and
that's what we call the you know, your final expenses that we do have, again, coverage for it. It's surprising, as I mentioned probably in one of my other interviews here, there's that 47% of the population do not have any type of coverage, of any type of insurance coverage in existence at the present time.
That's a high percentage.
It's incredible. So you can look at just the final expenses. You know, I've had them in my own family, and final expenses just for the burials and everything else can run, you know, $10,000, $12,000, $15,000 without any problem. So these are type of coverage that are available to anyone that's out there in different ages. But we do a lot of it with the seniors. Because again, they go through life with not having any insurance coverage, or have had it and it lapsed because one reason or another, and they come up with being of a senior age without any type of coverage, and then they look to us, and that's when we can help them with those final expenses.
I think the show Balanced Life has really shown us that having a plan in our lives, and really God's plan to protect our future, our children, our families, and our resources, I think it just makes it more apparent that we lead a much more balanced life when we're able to protect our families and ensure their future or their safety or our senior parents and things like that. So Bruce,
again, I don't mean to interrupt, but yes, yeah. That is the main purpose, is to really cover the family and the future of the family if something does happen to one or the other. Just to use an example, if we were talking about mortgages, if you have a $200,000 mortgage and you have debts on a monthly basis of $4,000, well, you know, those are just examples of the things that you're involved in on a day-to-day basis. So to be free of the family's obligations, if something does happen to you, is that you're right off the bat, you need over $200,000 worth of coverage just to cover those bases. That doesn't even consider, you know, if you have children, you know, their college education, where does that come from? If you have parents, grandparents, where does that money come from? It's all part of the equation, which as you mentioned, people don't realize how important it really is to protect the family as a whole entity.
Absolutely, and I think you summed it up beautifully. Why buy life insurance? Why do we need it?
Those are the reasons to protect the family structure financially. When something, you know, and if something does happen, to pay those bills, to pay those final expenses, we have to have, you know, some type of plan in place to really cover this if we're looking at our family and looking for their safety over the long run.
Because it's really not just the family that may pass away, but it's for the survivors.
It basically is for the survivors. Unfortunately, it's I've always said they call it life insurance, but as joking, some people call it death insurance. Well, it is the life insurance of the people that are living, to make sure that they're covered for the rest of their life, so that it is not a financial burden that you've placed on them for whatever reason, it does cover those catastrophes.
Yeah, sometimes we feel like life is the game of survive or outwit, outlast, outplay, but really it is God's plan and God wanting to protect his children. And I think Bruce Henge helps with the insurance side of it, specializing in that mortgage protection, annuities, life and safe retirement plans. Bruce, how would one get a hold of you?
Well, the best way is to just call my cell phone, which is 215-704-6385.
And do you have an email address?
I do have an email, which is bhengey2@gmail.com.
Okay, we thank Bruce very much for being here today and teaching us that keeping your family insured and feeling secure leads to a balanced life.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. And I'm Renee with In Touch Marketing Concepts.